Welcome to Seeing Into Being Summit, spiritual insights and stories to awaken the golden age in your heart, mind, and daily life.
Om Shanti, Denise Ben, welcome. So nice to have you with us for the Seeing Into Being presentation. Welcome to the whole family.
Thank you, Om Shanti.
As you know, we'll be reflecting on this topic of Golden Age. And first, I think I'd like to ask you, if you go back to your early days in Gyan, how was this concept introduced to you, and how did you receive it? How did you think about it? And what was your experience? Did you have any vision, special trance experiences? How did you receive that? What was your early days experiences?
Yeah, in my early days of Gyan, I had many visions, many trance experiences. And in fact, even before Gyan, I kept on seeing Krishna appearing to me. And I would say to him, look, I don't know why you're coming after me because, you know, I don't belong to you. Little did I know. But somehow, and I had actually some very extraordinary full-on trance experience of Krishna. And what I would say from that is that any of the pictures that we have don't even approach the visuals, the quality of matter that you get in the Golden Age. So they are poor representations, which is unfortunate, but there's nothing else we can do. Baba gives trance visions to some who then carry that that vision in their heart, and they know the beauty, the quality, the extraordinariness of the Golden Age. And I remember attempting to draw it and realizing that because the actual quality of matter in the Golden Age is so different from what we have here. Everything here is so gross and everything there is so beautiful, so subtle, and so different that indeed you could hardly think it was on planet Earth as we know it. So it's a huge, huge difference and extraordinarily beautiful. Nothing of that level of beauty can be found on the Earth today, as far as I can tell. And I've seen some pretty beautiful things.
How can you move us a little bit away from the fantasy world, I think, that we are exposed to with some very simplistic pictures of just a little fountain with a, you know, smiling face that they all look the same and wearing crowns, which I think a lot of Westerners sometimes don't relate to too well, or at least not anymore. And wondering, we know that the Golden Age will be incredibly beautiful and different, but what words or what, how would you be able to describe it in a way that is a little bit more realistic?
Well, I mean, one thing you have is how it looks and the quality of matter, which I just mentioned. And of course, when I came in Gyan, you didn't have all of the artwork. You had the picture of Lakshmi and Narayan, which the classical one, which was actually, we had this picture which was designed by Mama, and she was actually very artistic, and so it's probably the nicest of the Golden Age pictures we have. The other artists are not my cup of tea by any means. And I never really bothered with those pictures because I kept in my mind what I had discerned from the descriptions Baba has given in the Muralis and the trance experience that I have had. Let me understand what that is. And I really think the Golden Age is something you have to understand rather than have a big Technicolor movie about, because it's not really so much a matter of how it looks, but the quality of human society, the quality of nature. And I think that You know, if you are, as we say in Gyan, an old soul who comes from that time, it is there, the memory of it is there somewhere within you. And when you expose yourself to Gyan and yoga especially, the sense of it comes into your mind and you have a knowing within yourself that, yes, it is like that. In terms of the actual historical record, I think the continuous historical record that we have in this world really only goes to the beginning of the Iron Age, you know, and before that you had the Dark Ages, which was a 600-year period of nobody knows quite what. And then you have the archaeological record of the early Copper Age civilizations, and you have some of the very beautiful ancient statuary that is hardly survived. You know, the Dilbara temple was 1,000 years ago, so it's an Iron Age thing. So there's very little from very, very early times surviving, and it was definitely pillaged and looted and destroyed along the way. So I think we do need to rely on our ability to use our imagination to carry into our being the descriptions that Baba has given us. And I think that some people can do it and some people can't. So if you can, I think it's a good fortune.
The you were mentioning, so it's not so much a visual, you know, film we need to watch, but something to understand. What will be the main lines of understanding? What is to be understood in the Golden Age that defines it in a very relevant way for you?
I think that also depends on the kind of person that you are, because you have to be able to transport yourself out of what we know as Western civilization, including our relationship with museums of art, and carry ourselves to, I think possibly even using an aspect of the self which is a little bit mythical and a little bit poetic, because you need to be able to really transport yourself almost. You know, one of the reasons people think that heaven is not on earth is because the earth itself is so different. And so we have to not use, I think we can't use linear thinking to just go back and back into the past, because there's a huge break between one side of the cycle and the other side of the cycle. So I think that to me everything is to do with the capacity to conceptualize and then to create for yourself through your interpretation of the knowledge that describes it, create for yourself a sense of it. And I'm sure that my sense of it is going to be very different from everybody else's sense. But I think the I think different people's trance visions are different, you know, and that has to do with your own aesthetic sense. You know, when Baba gives somebody a trance vision, it always accords with their existing beliefs, you know. So some people will see things maybe in a much more, you can say, kitschy way, and I would see it where it's very, very refined and beautiful according to my sense of it. So it's very subjective. Then when it comes to the science of the Golden Age, having perfect science, which is absolutely the server of humanity, having a very, very small population of very, very fine human beings, society will be very, very different. You will have this incredible wealth and beauty and abundance all around you. Your relationship with people, with things, with nature is absolutely harmonious. And I think that we can feel in our conscience when we are mentally and you can say behaviorally harmonious, and then when we go into fake, and when we go into manipulation, and when we go into reactiveness, you know, all of these are part of the world we know, but moving into the golden age way of being, I think it's very internal, it's very subjective, and because of that, sometimes I think it might be a bit difficult to convey and to communicate, you know. I mean, some people, they love the Botticelli Primavera, and some people, nothing happens to them when they see that, you know.
How important is it for you in your world of thinking, churning, experiencing yoga? What's the space that takes this golden age for you, that future world? How much do you think about the future world, and what does it mean to you at the moment?
To me, you know, the kind of inner personal work that one does to do with bringing oneself to a state of spiritual attunement and internal harmony and beauty, and in that respect, it's relevant. But on the whole, you know, I've been hearing about the golden age for 40 years and more than that, and I think that you know, in the beginning, you think, you know, is this real? And you think about it more. And I think at this time, I don't really. You know, what we're faced with at the moment is the collapse of present civilization. And for people who do not have Gyan, that is very, very scary. But for people who do have Gyan, it's okay, because we can see past it, because we know what comes afterwards. And I think that that is very, very, very relevant.
I think one of the principle of this webinar, this whole program, Seeing Into Being, which I think is fascinating, is the concept that if you want to go to a world, you have to see it beforehand. I mean, the vision brings you to where you're going. And the feeling was that if enough people have that visionary sense, that enthusiasm, that determination, that kind of objective for a structure, then that structure can happen. The same way, if you want to build a building, you have to have a vision of it first and plan it, and then you build it. So in that concept, how do you see the process that we may have to go through so that we do activate really a new world, because it's been announced for so many years, it hasn't happened yet. So what do you see as being necessary in the seeing into the being? How do you see the process happening?
Well, I think there's very, very few BKs who will have a vision of it that corresponds to itself. So I don't know whether that is the solution. For me, it's more to do with sensing it and being in tune with it in perhaps a more psychic way, that you can perceive it in advance. Because one of the things that we can do with yoga is we can move to any place in the cycle, and often Baba tells us to spin it. And I think that one of the rewards of good yoga is that as and when the right moment is there, you will be given visions. He has said everybody will be given visions, and different types, presumably. But the other thing he has said is you make yourself Satopradhan, and the golden age is Satopradhan. And we are at the moment Tamopradhan, and we have to move ourselves into a Satopradhan state. And it is said that whatever we do with ourselves, that will translate as the way the world is, the exterior world. So I work with that idea more than something more like seeing into being. I think may work for some people, but I think there are other aspects too.
But it could be a seeing which is not just on a physical level, of course, or a visualization level, but more seeing it in the self. It could be also an idea of how much do we see in ourselves this golden-aged set of sanskaras, which, as you said, is already there. For those who have been to golden age, it's already there. So I think that's part of the program as well, to say, well, the seeing is not just in the scenery, but it's also on the being. So seeing into being is also the double meaning of seeing in the self, don't you think?
I think that each and every one of us has a golden-aged aspect. And the more we absorb the light from Baba into ourselves, the more that aspect awakens and the iron-aged aspect starts to go to sleep. And that's really all you do, is you fill yourself with spiritual power, which activates your Satopradhan condition and deactivates your Tamopradhan condition. But you have to go through, I think, in the class we had a discussion about this practice of Raj Yoga being a matter of purging. And so you have to, just as Baba often gives the example of gold, which is full of alloy, to get back to the original gold, you have to go through the fire. And so this fire of yoga, the passion of love for God, will cause a transmutation to take place within the self. But I think it's extremely rare to find any BK who does yoga at that level. But I think that a day will come when some people decide that that's what they want to do. I think a lot of people have decided they want to do it, but they don't know how to do it, or they don't have enough intensity to do it, because easy Raj Yoga is not that easy, you know.
So do you have any latest tricks and yuktis to bring us to that level of yoga?
Well, again, I think it's very individual, and I did have an experience, or from time to time I have done some special personal work. Once I did 90 days full-on yoga continuously for 14 hours a day, and that was very, very intense, and it created a lot of consequences and shifting. And then I did, again, a lot of inner work around 1999-2000, which created a huge shift. So, but I think for a person to get themselves into a situation where they can do yoga at that intensity, it's very extreme. And I'm an extremist, so that's normal for me, but not everybody is. And I think I'm about to do it again. And so,
you can invite us to join if you want.
Yes, I'm planning that in the next year.
So what would be, in your sense, the meaning we should give to the time? You know, like time is moving ahead. We're seeing a lot of seniors leaving. The yajna is changing a lot. Some talk about this force of entropy sometimes, where, you know, it's hard to sustain an organization growing so much. Yet Baba has tried everything, the call of time. The time is calling you, your deity is waiting for you, angels are waiting for you. So what's the invocation, or what's the meaning we should give to this question of time? And are we going to wait for another 30 years before something happen?
No, I think we're on the brink of massive collapse and reforming of the Ajna. Like a phoenix, I see it as a phoenix, you know, who dies by fire and then takes rebirth by fire. I don't think the process of going from the Iron Age to the Golden Age is a smooth process by any means. And every so often, there have to be cataclysmic change. And I think that in the Yagya, from time to time, there have been these cataclysmic moments where things really shifted from one condition to another condition. And I do feel that we're on the brink of one of those. So it's about whether you can surf it, whether you have your seatbelt on, whether you can fly through such type of things. If you can, and if you make yourself ready for it, that's good. And if you are expecting everything to just carry on the way it is, and then when it doesn't, you're a bit confused. But I think that most people are aware that something's happening and that they need to really be very well grounded, very strong, very in their spirituality, and very, very clean. Because when anything like this happens, if you're clean, you can get through. If you're not, maybe you can't.
Right. So just before we maybe conclude, a last comment. Do you have any suggestions for topic or an aspect of this whole discussion we should think about in the context of seeing into being or reflecting on the Golden Age, preparing ourselves for the Golden Age? Is there a side idea that you think we should pay attention to?
Well, I like the idea of transmutation, and you know, because that's huge change. You know, normally people think of little sort of evolutionary change, but I like actually cataclysmic change, where you really all of a sudden see clearly and you don't look back, and then you're a different level of BK from one day to the next. But you see this in the BK community. There are some people who move by jumps, and some people who keep going slowly. So I think it differs with the type of person that you are. But I also think that the way the BK world is set up is itself sort of disappearing into being out of date, you know. And I really do see that it will reformulate itself. I mean, people are probably not really aware because Western people were not around. But when Dadi Prakashmani took over from Brahma Baba, she transformed the Yagya totally and completely. And when we came in, we saw what she had done. And nobody mentioned much about how she had changed it, but she had. And I think that her whole generation is now disappearing. And the what is next is under question. It's not clear. Nobody can see clearly some smooth transitions. It may not be a smooth transition, but whatever it is will be brilliant and marvelous and innovative. And if we're up for it, we can just, you know, jump into the new way. And, of course, some people may find it a little unusual or strange, but I think we need to think about how to make ourselves comfortable with deconstruction of many things and then a whole new construction and really looking at the essentials of Gyan. So I've been doing a lot of work with the Gita, and comparing the Gita with what Baba is saying, and I think that there are some good secrets in there, and it all has to do with your ability to hold your mind in Manmanabhav on Baba. And over here in England, there's a lot of people who are doing very deep silence retreats and deep inner work, and they are finding that it's bringing all their monsters up to the surface, and they're having to deal with it, and they're becoming different people. So I think that is really becoming part of the new geography, the new normal for BKs.
Well, it's certainly fascinating, and now you have the art of always making it a little bit dramatic, so we enjoy the drama. Sister Denise, thank you very much. And can you take us maybe for a few minutes on the state of reflective mind, meditation mind, and just with a few thoughts, maybe create an experience of this vision that you have for the new world?
Yes, certainly. So let us turn deeply within and become aware of that inner light to such an extent that everything external seems just hollow and without substance. Feel that light of your being. Go into that very, very tiny, intense power that is yourself, bodiless, genderless, raceless, without culture. You become just pure being. And by becoming so small, so focused, you can then cross over to another dimension. And there you have exposure to the Supreme Being Himself, that most intense, extraordinary, and beautiful love. Fearlessly you let yourself fall into that light and let that light consume everything about you that is not real, and just touch the core of your being and let that light also touch your core and fill you with absolute beauty. You are so still, so silent, and a fire of love for who you yourself are and who that one is. And you merge with that one in your heart and feelings. You become different, someone else, as you gently return back to your external world. And now you know something that you didn't know before about who you are and what you are. And so you now know where you're going. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti, and multi-million thanks, Denise Ben. It's been lovely to visit your space of mind and consciousness and heart. It was lovely to hear from you.
Thank you, Om Shanti.